ערב טוב, שבת שלום. The theme of tonight's talk, I will try to speak in English, the theme of tonight's talk is what do we see when we step out of the comfort zone? Few months ago, I was visiting friends. While I was sitting there in the dining hall with them, their daughter came back home. She's a girl about 6 years old. And I was very happy to see her. And, hello, Yali, and how are you? And nice. And she's standing there like smiling. And she was coming back, I think it was from the beach. I'm not sure. Anyway, she was coming back from somewhere. And I was asking her, how was it for you? And she's just standing there, like, staring at me, like, smiling, saying nothing. And then I said, was it fun? And as I said that, her mother immediately did to me, shh. And I, what did I say? I didn't say any word that starts with Zayin or anything like that, you know. And I said, Kef. Ah, Kef? And I said, what? And she said, later. And after a while, when the girls went to do their things, she told me, I don't want her to know this word. When they know, children, they know this word, all the world becomes from them. Everything was fun, not fun. Aya kef, aya lo kef. Anything becomes for them, that's what the whole world becomes for them. And it is so shallow. I don't want her to know this word. So, I will not get her into education stuff. I just know that I learned the lesson. I tried not to say this word to my daughter, Sinai, which, by the way, it's her birthday today. She's 5 years old. And and somehow she got it. Somehow she says a lot. I mean, if I ask her how I was in the kindergarten, kef. But leave aside the education thing. It is very, very interesting how this thing that we refer to it as mind, we call it mind, how this thing works. I had the thought today, during the time we were walking, that maybe we can look at the mind, it is a factory that produces packages. 24 hours a day, or at least all the hours that we are awake, it keeps producing packages. Life is so full, so mysterious, so wild, so ever-changing, and the mind keeps fragment things, take those slices of life and make out of it something, a concept, a tree, magnificent thing, so full of life, so many processes. When we meet, like we meet today, sometimes we feel the majesty of a tree. And yet, the way the mind treats it is very easy. Ah, this is a tree, a concept, that's it. A lake. Today, I don't know how many of us, but I'm sure some of us paid some attention to this thing that was there in the side of us while we were parking. Such an environment full of life, all the time changing the water and the advot, the little waves inside, and the leaf falling inside, fish, and all of that. When the mind meets it, it's packed, a lake. Okay, I know this thing. The breath, this one thing that we keep here refraining to, reminding us to pay attention to connect to. And the mind keeps, what is it? Breath. I know what is breath. It's breath. It's breath. And yet when we have this moment of grace and we get closer, it's so much alive. So much impossible to really conceive it. Or meditation. That's a good one, an interesting one. Especially for a group like us here, living so many hours in doing meditation. We sit or walk. So many things happen to us in our bodily life, in the mind. The breath is here, feel of connection to the breath is lost. Memories of something we forgot to do before we came here. Children from primary school bring to us hello in our minds. Sound of a bird suddenly take our attention and we feel an openness inside. And then another destructive memory. So many things happen in this time. And then the bell rings. A moment, 2 moments later, it's all packed. I had a good meditation. I had a bad meditation. I was sitting once in a monastery in India, practicing like we do here, more intensely, without going out to nature, spending all day inside the ground of the monastery, sitting, walking. It's a kind of a tradition where the practitioners practice for themselves mainly, and stay in quite a solitude, and once a day meet the teacher to give a brief brief report. Tell the teacher how is it going for me. And like every day, it was late morning time, I would find myself standing with the teacher. He was those of us who know India, a Bengali look guy, quite an old guy with an Arak glasses. Like, and was sitting there like in front of me, and most of the day I was just telling him, hey Bhante, it's very difficult to me and I don't feel I succeed, and I have a lot of pain here and there. And he was looking at me through these Arak glasses, give me a deep look, and then hugging me and telling me, Vimal, very good. Keep on. And if once, I don't know, in a few weeks comes something that feels like, this is meditation. I had some nice sensations and felt focused or whatever, and in my mind there was this is meditation. I was looking forward to telling him about it. And then sitting in front of him, he was like every day say, how are you? And I was telling, listen, I had this experience and I think this was a very deep samadhi or whatever, like, came to me. And maybe I said one or two sentences and suddenly he told me, hey, listen, you don't believe. I have so much work. All these villagers are coming to me and they want blessings and they want that and they want that. I'm so busy. What is your name? I have to go. And I'm kind of left that. But I'm almost enlightened. How can you go? And And after a while, I kind of got to, that this is the dynamics, that Stein felt that he wasn't really interested in what I think about the meditation. Of course, it didn't stop. It didn't stop the process of the mind then or now to evaluate and to say, it was a good meditation, it was a bad. But it's so interesting to see this process is just keep going on and on and on, as if by itself. And that we actually don't really have to take it too seriously. Talking about children, we have this song, I think, in Hebrew that says, yes, it has the line that says, "Malamata bagan hayom yeled chamud sheli." What did you learn in the kindergarten, my sweet boy? And it might be that in the end of our time here, we might hear this question. What did you learn there when you were stepping out of the comfort zone? What did you learn there? It might be that not just from outside, from within, we will have this question, and we might already have it in the end of a day. What did I learn today? Necessarily be a very useful, skillful, but yet we might still see that it comes up kind of in the nature of the dynamics of the mind. Many things might come as response to such a question. Different responses for different people. Different responses for the same person in different times. One of them might address this very thing of automatic happenings, automatic things, dynamics that keep happen inside. Maybe this interpreter, or I a lot of times more see it as a radio broadcaster that keeps broadcasting the story of our life inside, dress itself as, this is who am I, this is I am, and telling what is happening to me all the time, and what should I do or should I not, and how am I doing. It is reminding me a sketch that I saw in the TV just many years ago. I don't know how many of you know. There used to be, I don't think he still exists in the Olam HaBidur, Menachem Zilberman from Elat, a comedian from Elat. And there was a sketch with him that he was seen driving a car. I guess it was a Susita or a Contessa. It was many years ago. He was driving in the desert and it was night, and the car broke down, stuck. And he's going out of the car and he's talking to himself, "Oh, shit, what happened here?" And he's going around and he starts to kick one of the wheels, flat tire. And he goes to the back of the car and take off the Zen, have a look. "Oh no, I don't have a lift. I don't have a jack." You don't say jack in English, right? You say jack. Oh, sounds a lot better than a lift. But he said, "Wow, I don't have a jack. What will I do?" He's kind of looking around and he sees far away on a hill that there is a house and there is a light in the house. So he says to himself, "Well, I'll go and ask for a jack." And he starts walking and says, "Well, I'm sure the man who lives there will be happy to help me." And he keeps walking and says, "Maybe we'll ask for something." Okay. 30, 50 shekels. I'll give him for doing for me such a help. Okay, 100 shekels. I'll give him 100 shekels. Like, it's okay. Maybe he will not trust that I'll bring it back. So maybe he'll ask more. Maybe 200. 500. I'll give him 500 shekels. He keeps going and he's climbing the hill and he's breathing like, he might ask even more. Maybe he will ask 1,000 shekels. And he's approaching the door and says, 1,000 shekels? 1,000 shekels for a jack? And he's knocking the door. And the guy is opening the door and smiling and says, hello, welcome, how can I help? And he's telling him, take your jack and stick it! And really, how many times the mind is just going on and on and on. And here in this environment, in the silence, when we are not communicating, when we are not busy in doing so many things, and we need it, sometimes it's really astonishing. Going through the day, in the sittings, in the times out, and looking at these trains that are going through the mind, these structures that are built, and then vanished. Sometimes we can see the reason. It might be the bell, the voice of the muhazin or anything, and sometimes we don't. Towers in the air. Another thing that might come today or yesterday, in these 2 days that we're here, might be a breaking, or not necessarily breaking, but maybe a crack, tzedek, in this idol of comfort. Maybe just putting the question mark in the end of the sentence that happiness equals comfort. That in order to be happy, I need to be comfortable. Or that if I really feel comfortable, that will mean that I will be happy. It is amazingly deep-rooted belief in the culture we live. The houses we live nowadays are kind of temples that really symbolize this belief. So much energy, sometimes it feels like all our energy directed into creating comfortable environment. All what we meet around, from talking with friends, relatives, from all the messages we got in the media, commercials, it is said that we need things that will enable us to live in comfortable environment, and that's what we need to be happy. A friend once showed me from a European magazine a commercial of Peugeot. In English it's Peugeot, right? No? French car, yeah. Anyway, that's the way he said it, something like that. He said, what? Then I had to look at the lion. And there was a picture there of the brand new car, and it said, Peugeot, that's what you need to be happy. Mm. while stepping out of our comfort zones, stepping out from the air conditions, the good and comfortable bed and chairs, the refrigerator that supplies us food whenever we want, and we can make whatever we like. The way that we are here, where we let go of our habits, of the things that we are used to do, the habits that make us feel very safe, very comfortable, and we step in here to the comfort zone, we see that life still goes on. Sometimes we might feel happier and sometimes less. We can be out, go there, can count countless too much, too hot, walking too long, too much humidity, the guy before me walk too close to me, and many, many these twos, and find a moment of calm, of joy inside all of it. Sometimes we can think that we have a reason, a bird that comes, and sometimes not. At other times we might feel relatively comfortable. Our body is not aching. We don't have specifically destructive thoughts. And yet we might feel amazingly miserable in such a moment. So maybe a bit of a crack, a question mark around this belief that he quotes, identify between comfort and happiness. In this process of stepping out of the comfort zone, we might also see a bit these chains that all the time hold us back to the comfort zone. The resistance that comes to us to move out from the comfort where we feel safe, because we have the belief that we know. We live in kind of a known realm. Stepping out of the comfort zone, we actually meet many times our fears, but with a very brave approach, the approach of not being afraid of our fears. And yes, sometimes we see that what we are afraid of do come. Maybe we were afraid before we came here that we will feel pain because of the long sittings or the long time walking outside. And maybe we do feel pain here. Maybe we are afraid that we're going to feel lonely here, not talking to other people. And maybe we see that, yeah, maybe at times we feel lonely. But somehow, those things that we are afraid of, when we let them be and meet them, are somehow not that horrible as that fear of them before stepping out was projecting, was hinting, Romez. See, wow! Story about a lady that was going to sleep and had a dream. And in her dream, she was seeing herself going in the alleys of old city at night. And she was going there in the alleys, and suddenly she heard steps behind her. and kind of inconvenient feeling came to her, and she started to walk a bit faster. But she kept hearing these steps behind her, even becoming louder and louder. And she started to worry, and she started to walk really, really fast. But the steps were stronger and stronger behind her, and she was looking behind her. She saw a big shade, and she looked behind her, and she saw that there was coming a huge monster. And she started really to run, but the steps are there, really there, da, 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 da. And she was running and running, and then she found herself in a dead-end alley. She couldn't do anything, so she was just turning back. She looked at the monster eyes and asked it, "What do you want?" And the monster told her, "What do I want? It's your dream." How many times we do it? How many times we are freezing, we are so afraid of the fears that we ourselves project? How different is the experience to really meet what was made us afraid of? Yes, it might be not pleasurable at all, but it's so much different. Very, very crucial thing that make it so different is that whatever comes, no matter how much we are worried about it, whatever comes in its nature stays for a while. It might feel sometimes as a long while, sometimes as a short while. It stays for a while, and then it goes. We can touch, see, smell, taste, hear. Whatever we can think about, perceive. I just mentioned now like the five senses and the faculty of the mind. This is the traditional way that the Buddhists approach the senses, the six sense doors in a sense. All these doors, that through them something is created. Whatever we see, hear, smell, touch, whatever we think about, perceive about, whatever, will vanish. It is its very nature. Whatever comes, bound to go. Whatever appear, disappear. Whatever born, when the conditions will ripe, will die. No matter how much we want it to stay or we want it to go, vanish. Think about a tree, a house, this retreat, career, relationship, this body, whatever. Whatever has a beginning, a time, will have an end. It is so amazing how this simple truth is so easy to make sense, and yet how difficult it is to really get it, to really attend to it, a moment after moment after moment. its very nature of things to change. The Buddha in his teachings kept pointing of how important is it, this truth of flux, of changing, of impermanence. And Nietzsche, in the language of the Buddha, not permanent. To really understand it, to realize it, not just the conceptual understanding, but to understand it, to know it with every cell of our bodies, it does make change. Whenever we meet, knowing its very nature, change all the way we know it. Samaraj, a non-dual teacher of last century, the author of a very, very beloved book called I Am Death. He has many beautiful sayings. One of them is saying something, if I remember it correctly, it goes like, between the bank of pain and pleasure, the river of life flows. It is perfectly okay to be on that bank or the other. The problem of life, the problem begins when the river is keep going and we insist to stay on one of the banks. Saying that, so how deep this process that we are going through can touch, can change, can transform. It's also very important to say that nothing really changes. All the expectations that we have inside about transformation, about processes we're going through, and how it should it be after, trying to grab on these things that we want them to happen, these realizations that we try to realize, even this sense of realizing change, also this sense that I realize it, also this will vanish. A beloved American teacher, some of you might know, Ram Dass, formerly Richard Alpert, used to be a professor at Harvard teaching psychiatry. Afterward, he went through a long journey. I won't go into the details now. And he became a teacher. He's a spiritual teacher, teaching tradition that is very close by to our tradition. And he once was reflecting about it, reflecting loudly, talking about it, and he said that if he's looking at his neurosis, that's the way to say it? He says, if I look at more than 30 years of practice, deep practice, and I look at the list of my neuroses and, hey, listen, I know my neuroses. I used to know them. I always had interest in them. I was a psychologist and psychiatrist. And when I frankly look at them, I can see that not even one of them has vanished. Yet now, they make me laugh. Tell them. That's chikototi. Words. His light approach. He's reminding us about the approach, about the attitude, which is so much useful to whatever we're doing here. Take it lightly. Yeah, the vipassana process is like sticking a mirror just here. We see many things, much of it we might not like. Sometimes very much this convenient process. Sometimes it's very uplifting. Anyway, like the approach of Bhante, this monk, this teacher, very light approach to whatever comes. Smile if we can. Remember it, this approach, this way, that we can smile at these things. When we remember that the monster is created in our dream, we can smile to him. But not pushing it away, take it lightly. I want to end with a memory I got reflecting about this talk. Not necessarily shayach, yet suddenly came to me a person to mind. Allenby Street, I'm sure you all know, in Tel Aviv, in the top, not close to the seaside, but to the other side, near the big synagogue, Bet Knesset HaGadol. just on the other side, there is a shop. It's a very interesting shop because it does two things. It sells Tashmishei Kedusha. Anybody? Stuff. Thanks for that. And he fixed the oriental musical instruments. Interesting combination, maybe to have some other reflections about the sacred and the music and the arts, but anyway, the name of this shop, it's the name of the person there who is a percussionist, which maybe some of you know, is Yaakov Lev Sameach, Jacob Merry Heart or Happy Heart. And this name can be kind of a reminder when we find ourselves very busy, very serious inside, all what is going on inside, giving it all the titles of light heart, merry heart. Let Yaakov Lev Sameach come and let us have a couple of silent moments together.